Let's go.
Shuku, shuku, shuku.
Let's go. Hello, 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 listeners. Welcome to episode 75 of the Nigeria Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Olu Oke. And yes, wow, 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 wow. What a roller coaster of emotions. But the Super Eagles of Nigeria are officially in the Africa Cup of Nations final in Abidjan, taking place on Sunday, 9 p.m. Nigeria time. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nigeria in the AFCO final. The Giants of Africa, for a reason, are where we belong. You know, I think I've spent more time on TikTok in the last 2 days than my whole life combined, to be honest. And, you know, just going through all the videos, all the memes, all the cooking. I mean, see how football can unite a country and make people happy. I mean, I've always said it. I feel like Super Eagles is the one thing that will connect the country. And lo and behold, we've seen it. Do you know how many women I've seen message like, "Ah, so this is what men go through, man. Can you imagine? Like, wow, so much pressure, blah, 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 blah." But yeah, Nigeria made it to the Africa Cup of Nations final. We played on Wednesday against South Africa, and as you all know, we beat them on penalties 4-2 after it finished 1-1 after extra time. I mean, what a game, what a game, what a game, what a game. We have to give it to Bafana Bafana. They came with vim too. I mean, it was one hell of a battle of a semi-final, but ultimately, Super Eagles triumphed. 67th minute, William Tshisekedi scored a penalty after Victor Osimhen was fouled once again. I just listened to a podcast, an European podcast, and one of the guys was saying Osimhen has not had a great tournament. And I was like, you clearly have not been watching the football. If you've watched every single game Nigeria have played, Osimhen has been decisive in every single goal Nigeria scored. So I thought that was really, really crap analysis, but I won't mention who it was. But anyway, after Tshisekedi scored in the 67th minute, we thought we were coasting towards victory. And then what happened? We thought Victor Osimhen scored to make it 2-0. And then instead, VAR called it back for a South Africa penalty, which Teboho Mokoena scored in the 90th minute. And immediately after that, they had another chance to even win the game. But lo and behold, we took it to penalties where Stanley Nwabali, straight from Port Harcourt, saved Nigeria in this one. Overall, the balance of the game, I'll say, was pretty even. Both teams had 14 shots. Nigeria had 6 shots on target. South Africa had 5 shots on target. Possession, South Africa definitely edged it at 61%, but that's understandable because of the game tilt. They needed to score a win, equalizer for pretty much 30 minutes of the game. So naturally, they were going to have more possession than we did. But yeah, in general, very, very good game. How did Nigeria start? It was a 3-4-3, same formation. However, Zaidu Sanusi was not fit, so Bright Osai Samo came in for him. Olaina moved over to the left wing back position, and Osai Samo played right wing back. Every other position was the same. Nwabali in goal, Ekong Ajayi and Bassey in center of defense, Oyeka and Iwobi in the middle of the park, Moses Simon and Lookman on the wings, and Victor Osimhen number 9 up top. So that was it for Nigeria. South Africa too played a fairly similar lineup that we expected. They did switch to a back five though to combat Nigeria's threat. So that was a bit of a surprise for the Super Eagles. But in general, I thought they were decent. I have to shout out their number 14 though, Mvala. The one with the rough face. You could tell he's been through things. He had a storming game. He was involved in everything. I mean, he gave away the penalty. He scored his penalty in stoppage in penalty shootout. He was just a live wire. You could tell he was playing in the game of his life. So shout out to him. What else do we see in the team? It's good to see Pesero really maximizing his substitutes in this game. So all five subs, all five substitute positions were used during the game. We had Alassane Youssouf come in, Jaribo came in, Chukwueze came in as well, and Iheanacho came in during the 90 minutes. And then in extra time, we saw Kenneth Omero and Terry Murphy come onto the pitch. I'll get into the game anyway, but in general, quick recaps for everyone to be aware of. 13th minute, we had a penalty shout. Ronald Williams clattered Ekong, and Simon couldn't react with the shot. For some reason, VAR is always leaning on goalkeepers, which is very, very annoying. South Africa had their first shot on target in 15th minute, straight at the goalkeeper. 24th minute, Lookman had a free kick, Sami Ajayi with a header. But to be fair, he should have headed it across towards Victor Osimhen. In 26th minute, we saw South Africa break with Mudau crossing the ball into the box, but a great block by Calvin Bassey. 27th minute, Percy Tau with a clear strike on goal, which went straight at Nwabali. 36th minute, we saw Iwobi have a shot straight at goal as well. His body position wasn't great, but it was just from outside the box. 38th minute, we saw Magopa, the striker, evidence, have a really good shot. Good save from Nwabali after Percy Tau laid him off. It was the first big chance of the game. And then in the 43rd minute, we saw Victor Osimhen head wide from a corner kick. So that was it for the first half. And then the second half, the game finally sparked to life. We saw Osimhen head wide from an Asai cross in the 56th minute. 60th minute, Oyeka shot wide from a Lookman layoff. He got a bit excited with that one. We then saw Chukwueze and Youssouf come in the 57th minute for our players who were tired. Iwobi came off, and I think it was Moses Simon who came off. And then shortly after those substitutions came in, we saw Victor Osimhen win the penalty. Great work by him. It was like a one-man train. He ran through about four South African defenders. And Mvala, number 14, it was like a rugby tackle, to be honest. Trister Kong stepped up. At this point, Omar, I was praying. I've never been so nervous watching a game, even with all the Arsenal and Nigeria games I've watched in my life. But Ekong netted a penalty, went straight down the middle, confusing Ronwen Williams. Shortly after that, we saw Percy Tau shoot wide for the South Africans. And then in the 74th minute, we had another big scare. Magopa, he turned Ekong and shot just wide. It was a raspy effort, to be fair. Just went wide. So that was my first fear, to be honest. In the 83rd minute, Chukwueze put Lookman one-on-one. Lookman had the chance to wrap up the game. He could have shot with his right foot, but for some reason, he wanted to take around the goalkeeper with his left foot. And Ronwen Williams stood tall and grabbed the ball from him. So that was a bit unfortunate. Literally, shortly after, we saw Osimhen score what we thought was the second goal to wrap up the tie. But it got disallowed because VAR went over to the other side of the pitch and there was a tackle by Alassane Youssouf on Percy Tau, which was rightfully called back for a penalty kick, which was very, very unfortunate. And then we saw Mokwena step up to score the pen in the 87th minute. And then after that, momentum is a crazy thing in football. It looked like South Africa could smell blood and they were ready to take it. So for the final like 10 minutes of the 90 minutes, Nigeria under pressure. And in the 95th minute, we saw South Africa have a free kick, which Mokwena took. Nwabali parried it straight at, I've forgotten the player's number, 20... Anyway, South African player had the goal gaping, but it was clear he's right-footed because he hit the ball with his left foot and he fired it over the bar. So shortly after that, Chukwueze didn't shoot wide, and then that was the end of 90 minutes. Extra time, we saw Victor Osimhen with a great shot in the 100th minute from outside the box, straight at Ronwen Williams, who was able to make quite a good save. 102nd minute, all of a sudden, long ball to Victor Osimhen. Ronwen Williams missed the ball, but the defender cleared the ball, was lucky because he was able to clear it just before Victor Osimhen could get to that ball. And in the second half, we saw Victor Osimhen shoot wide again in the 107th minute. Shortly after that, he was subbed for Terry Murphy. 113th minute, Terry Murphy went through clear on goal and he got fouled by Kekana. So Kekana got shown a red card after a VAR check. They were trying to see if it was inside the box to be a penalty or just outside the box, but it was just outside the box. And Kelechi Iheanacho shot straight at Williams from that. Next thing you know, it was time for penalties. And lo and behold, the Super Eagles stepped up to the plate. So how did the penalties go? We saw Terry Murphy step up. Well, first of all, South Africa won both the toss to decide where the penalties were taken and who goes first. Ronwen Williams thought Nigeria should go first, probably feeling confident from the Cape Verde game, but that was not to be the case, boy. Terry Murphy started things off with a great finish, 1-0, straight down the middle. And then Mokoena, who scored his penalty in 90 minutes, then stepped up to take South Africa's first penalty, which Nwabali made a great save from. So it was 1-1. And then Kenneth Miro stepped up for Nigeria to make it 2-1. 2-0 on penalties. And then we saw South Africa score their next pen, so it was 2-1. Ola Aina then stepped up and he shot the ball over the bar. Unfortunately, you could tell. I mean, I was a bit worried about Ola Aina taking that pen, but he did send the goalkeeper the wrong way. It just went over the bar. And then South Africa then scored literally immediately after Ola Aina missed his penalty. We saw Evidence Magopa step up to take a penalty, which Nwabali then saved again. At this point, I couldn't even watch the game, to be honest, guys. Like, my head was on Pluto. Like, what's Charlie Poppy? I'm telling you, like, I couldn't think. But once Nwabali made that save, all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, it might be our day today, you know. And then immediately after that, we saw Troost Ekong step up to take the fourth penalty for Nigeria. He absolutely lashed it into the left side of the post. There was nothing Roman Williams could do about that one. And then we saw South Africa convert their fourth penalty, which was their second successful pen. So at this point, it was 3-2. And we had Kelechi Iheanacho step up to take the fifth penalty for Nigeria. If he scored, he was going to send Nigeria through to our eighth AFCON final. And lo and behold, did he do just that? I mean, what a way for it to go, because it hit the post, went in off the post, and just rolled into the net. And honestly, I can't explain the feeling. Like, what a joyous occasion, guys. Nigeria into the AFCON final. Just brilliant. Good performances. Troost Ekong, man. I'm trying to keep this quick so I don't overtalk. But Troost Ekong, for me, has been the player of the tournament so far. The way he's led the defense, the way he's handled the pressure. Every time he's had to step up to take a penalty, he's done so successfully. He's really showing that leadership element on the pitch. And boy, oh boy, was he excellent today. I mean, in extra time, you remember when the South African player was running through on goal and he did not waste his yellow card. He dragged that guy down, man. No grief for anybody. So Troost Ekong, shout out to you. Stanley Nwabali, I mean, oh, God will bless your family and your whole lineage, because what you did for us in that penalty shootout, you will never, ever not be known in Nigeria till the day you die. So God bless you, Nwabali. What a performance. I thought Frank Onyeka was excellent in the game as well. Yes, you could say he tired off towards the end of the game, but boy, did he run his socks off for the Super Eagles. Shout out to Frank Onyeka. And obviously, Victor Osimhen. What a workhorse. 2 days before the game, he was sick. He had a drip inserted into his body. He didn't even travel with the team to Boake initially because he was under surveillance by the doctors. But yet, he managed to get himself fit. You could see even in the first minute of the game, he was holding his abdomen already. So I was worried. But boy, did he put in a shift. And he was the one who won us the penalty, as we know already. So without Victor Osimhen, we will not be in this final. And also, he's been very unlucky because he's had 2 goals disallowed by VAR. One in the game against South Africa and one in the quarterfinals against Angola. Yes, you can say they're rightfully disallowed, but I just have this sneaky feeling that his moment is coming. The only person who, in my opinion, didn't have that good of a game was probably Alassane Youssouf. The pressure maybe got to him, you know. He was looking a bit rash once he gave away the penalty. He was probably feeling the pressure. So I thought he was a bit suspect. Osayi Samuel in the first half did not exactly make me happy. But it must be said that in the second half, he was the one who laid the ball off for Osimhen to put the ball in the net, even though it was rightfully called off for VAR for a penalty to South Africa. So thoughts on the game in general was KG first half. I'm a bit worried about the long balls which were able to split our defence in the first half by South Africa. Percy Tau's not the biggest lad, but a lot of times he was troubling us. So it's either we need to learn how to play an offside trap better or learn how to deal with the threat of those long balls. Second half was much better, as I said. I have to give praise to Jose Pacero. Everything he did went right for him. The subs who came on to take the penalties, literally everything just worked. And I'm so proud of the Super Eagles for managing the expectation, because these moments can be really, really tough for any player or any human being. So shout out to the Super Eagles for managing the expectations. So that's it, Nigerian AFCON final. And as I said, we'll be playing Ivory Coast in the final. Ivory Coast came through against DR Congo in the semi-final. It was probably their best performance of the tournament. Sebastian Haller scored the goal in the 65th minute. It was a bit of an unlucky goal if I was Congolese, to be fair, because he hit the ball. It was a cross and then he hit the ball into the ground, but the bounce looped over the goalkeeper. So a bit lucky. When you look at the stats, you could say Ivory Coast definitely dominated the game. I mean, 14 shots to DR Congo 7. 2-2 in terms of shots on target. Also dominated possession, dominated passes, dominated passing accuracy. So Ivory Coast, well done to you as the host. They are in the final. And that means on to the next, where we'll be reviewing or previewing the game against Ivory Coast, which takes place on Sunday, 9 p.m. Nigeria time. First of all, CAF will be super happy with this final. I think it's the kind of final that they would have wanted, to be fair. You know, the host, Ivory Coast, have put on an unbelievable tournament. Probably the best AFCON we've ever seen, to be fair. Forget recency bias, like, just the spectacle, goals, everything has been amazing. And the use of VAR as well, you know, the colourful Ivorian fans. And they will be playing the Giants of Africa, the most populous country in Africa, the team that probably has the most number. 1 in 6... black people in the world is Nigerian. So if you want people to watch your tournament, I mean, it makes sense to have Nigeria in the final. So shout out to us for being there. I mean, history, we know that in the same tournament, we've already beaten Ivory Coast 1-0 in the group stage. Osimhen won a penalty, which was Ekong calmly dispatched. However, it must be said that after the group stages, when Ivory Coast initially thought they were going to be out, they did sack Louis Gasset, the Frenchman, and MS Faye has remained at the helm. He was Gasset's assistant for 2 years, so it's not like there's no form of continuity. But they've been very good ever since, and they've managed to grow into the tournament. In terms of head-to-head record, it's literally bang on. Nigeria have won 9 games, Ivory Coast have won 9 games, and we've drawn each other 10 times. However, it must be said, in the Africa Cup of Nations, we have now beaten them the last 2 times we've played them, which was in the group stage and also in the 2013 quarterfinals in South Africa when we went on to lift the trophy. So this game should be an absolute war. You know, the best team based on performances so far versus the hosts who have literally resurrected from the dead. Anticipated excitement for this game for Nigeria. We will play the exact same starting lineup as the quarterfinals. The only thing that could change is if Zaidu Sanusi is fit. I know he's back in training. If Zaidu Sanusi is fit, Zaidu Sanusi will start for Nigeria. So that's the only thing to watch out for. Nwabali will continue in goal. Ajayi, Ekong and Bassey will continue in the center of defense. Ola Aina would switch back to the right wing back position, which I think he does slightly better than compared to the left wing back. Zaidu should come in the left, and then Iwobi and Onyeka should continue in the middle. If Zaidu is not fit, I could see a scenario where Kenneth Emerald comes into play centre back and Calvin Bassey will play as the left wing back. That's just my thoughts. And up front, we will see Osimhen, Lookman and Simon continue in action. And Spated XI for Ivory Coast. Youssouf Fofana will start in goal. We saw Wilfred Tsingoh, the right back, which I spoke about in earlier episodes, should continue at right back. Sergio Rea was suspended for the semi-final, so that's one to watch. Maybe they bring Orea back, but that's going to be a tough one for the coach to decide. Willy Boly and Endika started in defense. However, Kusunu, the Bayer Leverkusen player, who was suspended for the semi-finals because he got a red card in the quarterfinals, may come in to replace Willy Boly. So those are the ones to look out for. But everything else should remain the same. Konan at left back. Jean-Michel Seri will continue at the base of midfield with Frank Kessie and Seko Fofana just in front of him in the center of the park. And then Sebastian Haller and Adin Gra should start, with also Max Gradel playing in the right wing. So let's see what happens. Since Sebastian Haller has recovered and played for them, we've definitely seen a better structured Ivory Coast team. And Adin Gra in particular has been a revelation for the Ivory Coast since he's come in to start the game. What are my predictions for this game? I think Nigeria will win this game 1-0. I know I keep predicting Victor Osimhen winners, but it's finally time. We've seen how lucky he's been in the last 2 games, but I feel like it's Victor Osimhen's destiny. CAF African Footballer of the Year. Time to write your name into Nigeria history books. You've already won the 17 World Cup as a top goal scorer. You're the Capo Canary in Italy. You gave Napoli their third title in 33 years. I went to Napoli myself in May, and I can't even express to you how much they adore him over there. So now it is time to rise and score the winning goal in the final against the host. I mean, what a feeling that would be. Key storylines for the game to be aware of: we need to manage the pressure. It's the final. You know, these games are always cagey. They're never as entertaining as the World Cup final with France and Argentina. That was more of a one-off. So we need to be very, very, very careful. Ivory Coast are a much different team compared to the one we faced in the group stage. New manager, new defense, new system, new players brought in that did not play that game. And their confidence especially continues to rise. They've beaten Senegal, they've beaten Mali, they've beaten DR Congo. So they must be feeling like they're untouchable. They're like ghosts. They've literally risen from the dead. So we need to watch for that one. We need to keep our discipline and take our chance in the decisive moments. It also feels a bit like Nigeria versus the rest of Africa, because we know we're quite loud and quite, you know, abrasive in a good way, which I love. So anyway, Nigeria, we're not googly for anybody, and it's time to bring home that fourth AFCON title, which will allow us to tie Ghana, because even though they haven't won an AFCON in 42 years, they keep talking about the fact they have more AFCONs. So how lovely would it be where we're neck and neck and we're like, well, at least I remember watching at least two of Nigeria's AFCON wins in my time. I was born in 93, so I obviously don't remember 94. But I remember us losing in 2000, and I watched us win in 2013. Any Ghanaian that's 45 years old and younger cannot tell you they've watched their country win an AFCON before. So that's extra incentive for Nigeria, so look out for that. And then finally, third, fourth place game, DR Congo versus South Africa. I do think the South Africans will edge it on penalties or extra time, so watch out for that one. Final word for this game, guys. It's our first final as a country in 11 years. What a moment and opportunity to write your name into the history books of Eagles players. And I really believe that they will get the job done and bring joy to the millions of Nigerians, both in Nigeria and in diaspora. I cannot wait for one. And good luck, Super Eagles, man. No grief for anybody, and it's time to soar. So yeah, that's it for this episode of the podcast. I mean, what a moment. And this is what I started doing this podcast for, to be able to talk and celebrate Nigeria's big moments and bring, you know, awareness to how good we are of a team and the kind of people that we have hanging in the flanks. Mind you, Boniface did not play this tournament. Urban did not play this tournament. There's so many players that we could even get. Igor Ugbo, who plays for Slavia Prague. Great centre-back. He needs to come in. You know, middle of the park. Let's see what can happen. So even diaspora players, if you were hanging on the fence before, all of a sudden you're like, man, they're the champions of Africa. It does a lot for the country. And man, I didn't realize that Nigerians even still supported the Super Eagles like this, because I've been wishing for that connection to come back. And boy, oh boy, did it come back. Because the scenes I saw on Wednesday after we beat South Africa, I mean, so many videos from every single state, people celebrating with their grandma, their uncle, their auntie, in school, at church, at work. I even saw a video of a pastor pausing the service to celebrate. So my word, Nigeria, please step up to the plate. It's time to get that trophy. No grief for anybody. That's it for the episode of the podcast. Please remember to subscribe to us on this. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. And also, if you're watching or listening on any of the podcast platforms, please remember to subscribe and spread the word. Follow us on our social media channels. We are Nigeria Football Weekly everywhere, except on Twitter, where we are at NFWPOD. Take care. Peace out. I appreciate every single listener. And hopefully, episode 76 will be reviewing Nigeria winning the Africa Cup of Nations for the fourth time in our history. God bless. Peace out. And up Super Eagles, as always. Ciao.
Thanks for watching this video. Please like, share, subscribe, and click the bell to get a notification whenever we drop a video. You can also find our social media channels listed below. And of course, up Super Eagles, and Nigeria know they ever carry last.